Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. Join us as we dive into the normal and the paranormal to break through the darkness and to help you realize how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of understanding. This is the place where we build the karmic connections between science, psychology, and spirituality. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join us for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, practical perspective. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Laura and Tina, Better Karma for Better Living, starts now. Welcome to The Karmic Path, where passion is our karma. Oh, no, excuse me, I'm doing it wrong again, aren't I?
Karma is our passion. Okay, now you can go.
Everyone has a karmic path, whether they're aware of it or not. We don't live in a bubble, and everybody's actions and reactions do echo out and often collide. And our passion is to offer you a new way of looking at life so that perhaps you can improve on your karmic path. And before we get started, we need to ask Nancy from New York, does this sound better? She's been really helpful to us. We've never met her in person, but she's been helpful with us with our sound. So we're hoping this week sounds better. So I'm expecting an email from you. Okay, Nancy?
Thanks.
We really do sincerely appreciate your help. All right. We've been giving away books in the month of February. And this week, I forgot how to count.
You're just extra generous.
Okay. This week we have three winners that were picked from a random drawing. We have Laura from California, who's not me, but actually we found out lives near me. And Laura from California probably has no idea she lives near me. And we have Chris from Montana and Judy from Florida. So thank you all so much for tuning in and joining us here.
And your books will be on their way tomorrow.
They will. And before we get started, the big question is are we created equal, and what is ancestral karma?
Those are the two big issues that we're going to bravely address today. And I want to start out with something we do talk about, one true thing. That actually comes from Lewis Carroll in Alice in Wonderland. If you can go back to one true thing you know for sure, it can be very grounding. And we're going to start this one true thing is when we look at what is equality, I believe that it's very important to look around us and go to the most basic level. We are all given the same planet equally. We all have the same sky, although it may look a little different depending on where you are. The oceans of the world belong to all of us. No mega millionaire or billionaire, trillionaire owns the oceans. We all have access to air, and we all have access to time. Without time, we can't understand and appreciate the experiences we have. And karma offers us an opportunity to have the time and the physical space to feel each experience.
And to be grounded in gravity.
In the third dimension, we have time and space and gravity. Without gravity and space, time cannot exist. Now wrap your brain around that. Without gravity and space, time cannot exist. There is no magnetic field that holds us in place. This is how we know that we are all created equal in the sight of God, not spirit. We do not use that word. In the sight of God. We're just going to go right to the top. It's a military thing.
That's what I enjoy about you. No messing around, no pussyfooting.
God loves us all equally because he provides the oceans and the air and the sky and beautiful days and rainy days, which we've had a lot of in California lately, to all of us. Regardless of our race, our religion, our political belief, we are all equal in the sight of God, period.
We are all equal, but we are also created in karma. And this is because we all have free will, which means we get to make choices on how we act and react to that physical life around us. The karma we each create is what makes us unique. And karma, it's karma is kind of like, there's this buzzword lately, right? That it's usually associated with somebody's fate or somebody's destiny. But when we think of karma as being a fate or a destiny, it denies us the element of the fact that we have free will. We have the ability to make choices.
In every moment you're living, you're creating karma. This is one of Newton's laws of physics. For every action, there is an equal and sometimes opposite reaction. And every time you make a decision, you're creating another little drop of karma that you're not necessarily conscious of. Someone opens a door for you and you say, thank you. You made that person stay. But if they open the door for you and you hurriedly get out of their way,
you slam the door in somebody's face.
In other words, Everything we do creates some action and reaction for another person. That is karma.
It's not always a negative payback either. You know, we hear a lot of times, oh, karma is, you know, a witch with a letter B in front of it. That's not the case. Karma itself is a powerful tool that is woven into every being throughout time. It's the sum total of who we are. That's what karma represents. We're in resonance with the things and family that we are in resonance with are those that are offering us the lessons for spiritual growth. Many of these lessons come from family, the family we choose to incarnate with.
When you're born, think about this. This is an amazing thought. When you're born, you basically drop into the drama, the ongoing saga of your family's life and ancestry and story. You just entered from stage left or right, depending on your viewpoint.
But you're going to do this viewpoint because it's in the middle of the camera.
You enter this viewpoint.
Sorry.
You drop into the drama of your family's life, whether you're conscious of it or not. And maybe you're wanted. And so your family just gushes over you and all the relatives come and they're happy for your arrival. That sets you up in a very different karmic path than the child who was never wanted and is an inconvenience to his or her family. That child's karmic path is going to be different. Each child, I mean, both children in these completely separate examples have an opportunity to choose how their karmic path is going to be. But their parents are influencing their karmic path and how they will behave and how they will live their life. We can choose to be miserable all our life because maybe we had a really horrible start. Or we can choose to be grateful that we have life at all and feel that we can move forward with the knowledge that, okay, you know, it's that line from Sound of Music, perhaps I had a wicked childhood, perhaps I had a miserable youth, but somewhere in my wicked, miserable path, there must have been a moment of truth. So if you can find the moment of truth for yourself, if you can move away from all the things that are said to you with your hands, like you're pedaling here, maybe you can find something that rings true for you. Maybe there was one person who really loved you. Maybe you can feel that.
Maybe there was a friend or a neighbor. If you're growing up isolated or lonely or not feeling like you're in resonance with your family, maybe there's this one person outside of your family with whom you resonate with. And that's a karmic lesson and a karmic opportunity right there. Sometimes the best lessons are learning what not to do in a situation. If you grew up in an abusive family, maybe you get to learn love from another family. Maybe that's the karmic opportunity.
One of the things that I've seen for a long time with my own clients, because they just kind of appeared, it wasn't like I advertised, is that a lot of people didn't have children because their own childhood was so abusive. These people were so aware of how hard their childhood was that they chose this lifetime not to have children because they weren't sure they wouldn't repeat what their family did. So they chose this lifetime to work on themselves, to heal those parts of themselves. Maybe that part of that client was frozen at an early age, as we have said before. You are frozen. Your subconscious is frozen at the age of your earliest trauma. Your subconscious is frozen at the age of your earliest trauma. And so if you are conscious of that and you know you had trauma happen to you and you decide that you have to figure it out for yourself, that needs to be just fine. Let no one judge you for that situation. I think it's important to be able to look back on it and go, all right, I had a sucky childhood, but I'm going to really work on it. Okay, let's take the opposite. Let's say you had a terrible childhood and you got pregnant and now you've got a bunch of kids and you don't even know how to be a mom. And maybe you're a single mom, but in every moment you have a choice to ask for help, get someone to give you some guidance that you ask for. Decide what you want from your life and what you want for your children. Do you want their lives to be different? You're going to influence them. And how you influence your children creates karma. If you're the person who is still frozen at an early age and your children say something to you and you respond by calling them a terrible name, even a small child, now you're doing to your child what was done to you. But if you stop and you seek that place of emotional maturity and you go, you know, maybe my child was angry, but I still love this child as I wish someone had loved me. Give someone else what you wish you had had.
We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And we want to thank our sponsors, theoillounge.com. Go check them out. They are full of great information on essential oils. We will be right back.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And remember, if you'd ever like to communicate with us and tell us about our hair, makeup, eyelashes, or clothes, or sound,
or have a question,
or actually have a question,
which we get a lot of, by the way, this show is actually based on a question.
You can contact us at questions@thekarmicpath.com. Take it away, Laura.
All right. Thank you. People talk about their ancestral DNA, but what does that really mean? And the belief is that we inherit our genetics. And the question becomes, is this true? What if we incarnate here and we pick our parents and we pick our family, like it or not, that's the way it is. And I know some people are thinking, surely I'll pick better next time. But the reality is that we're here to learn from one another. We learn more from our families than I think most other situations out there.
It's so true.
And the family dynamics, those family relationships are things that are within our sphere that we can control. We can't control the global politics.
No, we can't. But we can control what we believe to be true about ourselves. I'll give you a personal example.
Okay.
My great-grandmother passed away from breast cancer. And so my mother believed that she and my grandmother were definitely going to get breast cancer. And I remember saying, why is that true? And she said, well, because you inherit it. Inherited.
And here's the thing. If thoughts are things, we're making things.
It's called creating a reality. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to reject that. I'm going to say that that doesn't have to be true for me. And by the way, Mom, it doesn't have to be true for you or Grandma. And guess what? Neither of them passed away from breast cancer.
Yeah, I have a family member whose dad died and whose dad's dad died at the age of 50 from a heart attack. And this person's like waiting around to turn 50 so he can have a heart attack. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Nothing is set in stone. Our futures are fluid. But when it comes to ancestors and families, we're in resonance with it. It's a frequency issue. If you're in resonance, it simply means that you have some similarities that karma wants you to work out.
There's a very interesting story that I learned from from reading about Edgar Cayce and some of the devices that he created that promoted positive health. And one of these people came to him and she said, you know, I'm one of 10 children. And the first eight of us, my brother and I are the youngest, the first eight of us all developed Alzheimer's. And, you know, and as we're aging, we don't want that to happen to us. Is there something we can do? We don't want to believe that that has to happen to us. Can we change that potential future? And Cayce said, well, yes. And he gave them some things that they could try. And based on what the writings of Edgar Cayce, those two people never did develop Alzheimer's because they made a conscious effort to develop a different path. And I know there are going to be people who say, well, if it were that easy, we could all do it.
Right. Exactly. But it's a karmic situation also. But what we're saying with this is that you can look at anything as either a life sentence and inevitability, like it's going to happen, or you can choose and look at it as an opportunity or growth for change. My family member whose dad and dad's dad died of heart attacks at age 50 had horrible diets. Okay, so what if you change your diet? What if you do things differently? What if you look at their, I'm not going to call them mistakes because they're not mistakes, but their habits, you look at those things and you change what you're doing based on what you learned didn't work for them.
And when you decide that you are not the same as your family member or ancestors, that you are different, then
it takes a little courage. I know this runs in families. Everybody has gallbladder surgery. I hear this over and over. I can't believe how many times I've heard this. Oh yeah, my mom, my grandmother, and they go through this long list. They all had gallbladder surgery. So, you know, I guess I might as well just go ahead and get it done. And I thought, why would you just believe that? And to me, that's ancestral belief. That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with ancestral DNA. What if the power of thought, the power of study and understanding what you can do to improve yourself and your life changes things? And going back to the question, are we all created equal? This goes back to, we are all given as much as we could possibly imagine, an equal opportunity to bring change into our lives.
And we all come in with different karmic baggage. I don't know if we've mentioned this in the past.
And some people have a Kate Spade bag.
And some people come in with like freight trains or, you know, semi trucks worth of karma to be worked out. So we're not all the same in that way. But every single lifetime, we make choices, and that is who we are. And that's part of the karma that's woven within us that we're given as these changes that we can create, the free will that we have to make these choices. Just because doesn't have to apply to you. Just because so-and-so had breast cancer doesn't mean you have to. Just because someone beat their kids or beat you doesn't mean you have to.
That actually, I had the situation in the Navy when I was in the Navy, you know, in the dark ages.
Oh, I know this is a chilling story. Yeah.
I had a sailor who was a big guy. I mean, he was so big that his muscles had, it slit his sleeve because his muscles were so enormous. And he was our sailor of the quarter. He was a good guy, very competent man. But he just beat his wife, and he was about to start beating his daughter. And one of his coworkers reported him, and we sent him to the psychiatrist and the psychotherapist, and we sent him to anger management because that's what the Navy does. The Navy tries to be responsible about educating crew members, but the Navy failed to understand something very basic. And I didn't understand that because he's failing at all of these courses and these interactions. So he comes into my office one day and he sits down at my desk and he says, "Commander, what's the big deal? So I beat my wife. Nobody's perfect. I just don't get it." And I had this huge desk. I really love that desk. And I wanted to leap across it and strangle him because I'm a mortal person and I had a lot of emotion about what he said. But he wasn't lying to me. He was telling me genuinely how he felt. And no one had heard him before. They just got mad at him and tried to reprogram him. And I took a deep breath. And I said, "Petty officer," whatever his name was, "did your daddy beat you?" "Yes, ma'am. He beat me every day." And I said, "Did your granddaddy beat your daddy?" "Yes, ma'am. He beat him every day, but good. He'd have to go pick out the switch to get beat." And he looked at me and it's like he got it. And he said, "Commander, doesn't everybody get beaten when they grow up?" And I said, "No, they don't. It's called assault. And when you beat your wife or your daughter, it's called assault. And now you put your family in the habit of violence. And for the next 1,000 years, people are going to get beat when they grow up, unless you make that change, unless you find the courage inside yourself to stop beating your family. And to change this karmic moment, now is your chance." I'm getting really passionate about this.
Well, it's a huge concept because what if you change your karmic path? Let's say Petty Officer Joe, okay, you're talking about. He stops beating his wife and children. He's got one child, he might have more. He stops beating them. Now that karmic pattern has stopped
and changed,
and it has affected his entire family, and that echoes out. Imagine if one less child was beaten,
one less child was screamed at, one less child lived in fear.
imagine what that would be like. And I said, for 1,000 years, you will have changed that potential future. Are you man enough? Do you have the courage to make that change?
And that's the big question. Are you big enough to make a change? We all make mistakes. We may slip back into old patterns, but karma is going to be testing us. Did we learn the lesson?
And I wasn't angry at him. In that moment, I had to change. I had to change.
Because we can only change ourselves.
Oh, I like that.
Well, you know, Tina, you couldn't change Petty Officer.
I couldn't change him, but I could hear him. I could stop doing what we had all done in the chain of command.
Which wasn't working.
And hear him on a much deeper level, frankly, a compassionate level. And when somebody beats their family, you get angry at them and you don't have any compassion for that person. And I realized that I had to change my point of view about the man in front of me. It wasn't a bad man.
And you didn't grow up with abuse. So your initial reaction is rage. But then when you hear him thinking, what? Not everybody gets abused or beaten.
So I'm looking at an abused person who needed to have someone hear him, frankly, for the first time in his life and not be angry. And I said, you know, I can send you to class forever. But in this moment, you have a chance to change without criticizing your mom or dad or your grandparents. You can change. And I've seen people who have been abused do this. And you know what? We're going to be right back at this momentous section. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio.
Explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by 3 remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit GlennaRice.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
On Transformation Talk Radio. We are discussing, are we all created equal? We are all created equal and are from the point of view that we are loved by God on this planet. Everything else from that is our karmic path and the karma we create and the karma we allow other people to create for us. And what prompted this entire episode was a Facebook comment that came in to Laura recently. So when people say things, they don't often realize that sometimes the things they say can have a really detrimental impact. Laura?
And this woman had a really good question and she's seeking answers. And there's no judgment here on us, but here with us, but it says, she had said, I am constantly being attacked by bad karma that is not mine since birth. Is this a past life issue? And we talked last week about past life hauntings, and somebody else had, you know, chimed in after the show and said, you know, why can't a psychic tell me my past life? And, you know, we want to kind of reiterate that for just a moment. That is, I could tell you anything. I could make anything up. You would never know the difference if you gave up your power and just carte blanche, believe me. And that's a huge thing to remember when we are seeking help and seeking spiritual advice. You have to look at what rings true for you.
I want to interrupt here. Mm-hmm. One of the big reasons that you never let a psychic tell you what that psychic thinks your past life was, there's two karmic issues here. See, two. The first one is that that psychic is now influencing you and they're absolutely changing your karmic path because people think that a psychic has this, they're the great and mighty Oz. They're not the great and mighty Oz. They're just the guy behind the curtain.
They're humans.
And you're giving them and respecting them for this great power you think they may have. So anybody can say they're psychic. That doesn't mean it's true. So now, the other part of this situation is that the psychic is now being looked at as being in an elevated position with this great and mighty knowledge. Well, they're incurring elevated karma because they have actually said something that may cause the other person to change their karmic path. They weren't necessarily responsible. Maybe they said, you know, spirit told me to say this.
All right, and we're saying this because somebody chimed into this little Facebook chat and said, you know, basically, I'm a shaman and it's your bloodline, not your past lives. And this person starts responding. The question was, I am being constantly attacked by bad karma that's not mine since birth. Is it a past life issue? And this quote unquote shaman comes in and says, yes, but it's your bloodline and it's not your past lives. And he goes on to say, this is your father's doing. He must ask for forgiveness for all of those he has hurt. Only then will you be free. When he does that, he needs to eat a lot of salt every day so he can be cleansed. Don't get that one, but
what are people thinking?
Otherwise, you will be burdened by his karma in this life and in future lives. Okay, the violations we can have on spiritual law. First of all, this person is engendering guilt onto a person who has no idea they're receiving this burden, the father. This father now, in this woman who asked the question, now thinks her father's guilty of something. And she's going to have to say, you need to forgive everybody that you've hurt so I can be free of this karmic burden. Does that make sense at all?
No, it makes no sense whatsoever. But let's go back to her original question. She believes she's being attacked by bad karma. Karma doesn't attack you.
And it's not bad or good.
It's simply it's a reaction to something. If you can stop and start studying your life a little more, it's not karma, doesn't attack you.
Those knee-jerk reactions, if you stop, take a breath, pause, and give yourself a moment before you react, you're going to save yourself a lot of bad choices.
Bad choices and bad reactions. That's what you maybe that person meant by being attacked by bad karma. You're feeling the negative responses from people around you who are responding to you. You can't change anyone else. You can only change yourself.
So choose how you may respond differently to a situation. If karma's always giving us the same lesson over and over until karma really knows that we've learned it.
And so we have the karma of the person who asked the question. She can begin to change by doing research and studying and seeking to understand herself and being careful who she asks. But the larger issue for me is the psychic. Any psychic
or in this case, it was the shaman, but it's the same umbrella.
It's the same umbrella.
If somebody has to give you a title, it's probably not. It's probably ego-based.
It's probably ego-based. And there are Native American shamans who don't run around telling people their past lives. I've never known a true shaman to do such a thing. It makes you look like you're the Great and Mighty Oz. But we all know that the Great and Mighty Oz was a fraud. Don't let someone give you a gold-plated ticket on the guilt train, which could be completely false. That psychic, shaman, whatever term that they're using, whatever the term du jour
is using guilt.
They're using guilt and they're taking your energy and they're creating problems inside of you. It's really,
and problems
really cruel.
That may not even exist. They're creating the problem.
They're creating a problem that doesn't.
Problem on a platter. Here you go.
We're going to give you this gold-plated ticket on the guilt train, and then you're going to feel guilty, and then you're going to, you know, have problems with your father. And whoa, that is not a positive thing. Okay, so we had another question.
All right, so we had somebody come into us this week also, which is another reason why we're doing this show. They wrote in that a psychic did a past life regression on there. And the psychic told me that I was a terrible, horrible person in a past life.
Well, they didn't do a regression. They just told her.
Oh, they just told her. That's true. Yeah, you're right.
There was no regression involved.
Yeah, you're right. They just told her. So they tell her that she did this horrible thing in a past life, which is why she's not allowed to have children in this life. Now,
and I have heard this before.
I've heard this before too.
Over and over. This is the first time I've heard this.
We don't always have children in every lifetime.
No, we don't need to have children in every lifetime.
Sometimes our soul needs to understand what it's like maybe not to have children or not to have a certain family. Sometimes we need it. Every incarnation that we have is different.
Yes, you do need to have several lifetimes where you are a parent, but you don't have to physically have the children. I know one woman who never had children, and she is a parent to 6 kids through a variety of situations. She's a really good mom. But it doesn't mean that you have to have children in every life. Maybe you're working on yourself this life and you're growing in different ways. Don't ever let anybody make you feel guilty. And for this psychic to tell this woman that she did something horrible in a past life that may or may not have caused damage or harm to children was among the cruelest things. And basically, to be blunt, it's black magic because you're deliberately harming somebody else.
You're deliberately harming someone else. And it's also going to, this person who wrote in may choose relationships with other people that she would not normally have chosen. And they may not be for her greater good because now her karmic path has just veered 1 degree. 1 degree now is many degrees down the future.
And that's a very challenging thing. It's very important to remember that guilt will always seek punishment. This is why we're being really, really hard on psychics who tell people their past lives or who tell futures. And we probably do a whole episode just on that. Because when you create guilt, then that person feels it. And guilt always seeks punishment. It's a spiritual law. If you feel guilty, you feel like you should be punished for, fill in the blank. When that may not be true at all.
And really good people are really good people. And no, there's no perfect person. People aren't perfect. We incarnate here for the experiences and lessons our soul needs. Nobody lives a perfect life. In fact, I believe in the Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma, to your book, you mm-hmm. say there is no learning in perfection.
The relentless pursuit of perfection is a great ad for Alexis, but it is not a great way to look at a human being. You learn from experience. You learn what doesn't work sometimes really well, like we're having all these problems with sound, but we're getting it now.
And thank you for Scott, who says, hey, Laura sounds great, but Tina sounds like she is living in a cave. So thank you.
We're not perfect. No one's perfect. What concerns me are psychics who put themselves on a level where they cause people to believe that they are telling them the gospel truth. But this is no different than any faith or belief system that causes you to believe something negative about yourself.
And, you know, I want to go back to guilt seeks punishment. What if, and this goes back to the word sin also. So we're born in sin. A lot of us have heard, we've been born in sin.
And you're going to die in sin.
And you're going to die in sin. If you're born in sin, you're going to be seeking punishment. So if you are of any religious faith that tells you that you're born in sin, you're going to be seeking punishment for yourself, because there's clearly nothing you can do if you're born in sin.
And I can't tell you how many genuinely lovely people who have led wonderful lives or adored by their families believe that they are born in sin, they're sinners, and that God couldn't possibly love them.
Well, what if, it's just a what if.
Oh, what if, okay.
What if we are born in karma? What if we take sin and guilt out of the equation? We are born in karma, we're not born in sin. We're having experiences, we're not guilty.
What if we change the, what if we used a synonym for karma and said we were born with opportunity? Even though it might look grim when you first start out, still have an opportunity to change.
All right. And with that, we will be right back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. Don't forget to check out theoillounge.com. It's full of a lot of great information.
Explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Darcy Pariso is your connection to spirit, energy, and healing. You can meet Darcy in person at upcoming events throughout Seattle. Do you you have questions about your animal companions, yourself, or do you desire to communicate with loved ones on the other side, Darcy will connect you and get answers. Darcy can also work with energy healing to help you and your animal companions feel more balanced and recharged. Visit darcypariso.com/events.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Radio, we're talking about, are we created equal or are we created in karma? We're all created in a karmic reality that has consequences and experiences, including the really good things. Karma isn't punitive. Karma is part of the fabric of our being. It's part of our essence. And what makes this so unique, what makes us so unique individually and collectively, is that we have free will to make choices that affect our karmic path and the karmic path of those around us. And whether you believe in reincarnation or not, it still is impactful. But the entire point of reincarnation is that we get to have more experiences to create balances within those, you know, karmic opportunities and those karmic lessons. And we were talking in the last break that if we replace the words sin with karma, you get to remove the guilt. You get to open up hope and opportunities. But if you're living in sin, you're living in guilt, there's no hope there.
It's always going to be punishing.
And so if we're born in karma and we're not born in sin, what does that get to do to us? How does that change the frequency of the planet?
Well, you can do good things. And we have...
Well, even if you're doing bad things, I'm going to call them mistakes, or if you do something and you harm somebody, but you learn that lesson from that harming someone, that's still a good opportunity because you've learned a valuable lesson. It may bring you heartache and strife, but it's still a good lesson.
If you recognize it as a lesson. Unfortunately, a lot of people seem to keep making the same mistake over and over.
But this is why we're doing what we're doing. It's to give us a different perspective or a different thought or idea.
So let's look at some situations where, how did karma come to someone and what did they do with the karmic opportunity that was in front of them? And I picked two stories because I'm doing a lot of research when I did the book, you know, Laura and I were doing the book Soul Evolution. And the first story has to do with Princess Anne, who's a princess royal, part of the royal family in England. You know, you hear about the more famous one, but Princess Anne was the second daughter of Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. And she's born into this life of incredible money and privilege and, you know, anything she wants and cars and the whole thing. But the Queen always talks about service. So what does this princess, who knows she's never going to be queen, what does she do with her life? How does she...
Right. She creates foundations and charities, and she's looking at the service of her position.
In fact, she is the patron for 350 charities. They say she works tirelessly day after day after day. She gets no press. She doesn't seek press. She doesn't seek all the things
and
that go with it.
This is a person of substantial wealth and fame. But this is what she's choosing to do with her karmic path. But let's look at somebody else. Let's look at Joan Croc. Joan Croc is a hairdresser who was born of very modest means. She marries the guy who started the McDonald's chain franchise, Ray Croc. And she decides that with her money, and by the way, I actually know this family. I've been to their home before, the Joan and Ray Kroc's home. I've been to their house years and years ago. And I also knew a local from my community who was the construction architect for all of these McDonald's all these years ago. And the Crocs were very modest with their personal expenditures, but Joan Kroc saw a need. She saw with her wealth, she could fill in a valuable need. And that was parents who had children who were sick in the hospital needed a place to stay so they could be with their sick child, oftentimes in their last moments before they die. If you live far away from a hospital, you're going to have to stay in a hotel and you're going to have to be eating out. She created the Ronald McDonald houses with her wealth. And she also did one step further, and she offers other people to participate in this charity by throwing change in whenever you go through a drive-through or whatever it is. So she is offering this huge karmic service, and she came from a very different background than Princess Anne.
So you have a person who's born into wealth and privilege and chose to spend it doing some truly amazing things. And you have a person who's born from very, very modest means who developed massive wealth and chose to find ways to do it. She didn't just do Ronald McDonald houses. She did a lot of things, but so much in San Diego.
This doesn't mean that you have to have massive wealth to be of a huge service. A lot of times it's maybe you know you have an elderly neighbor. Maybe you help them, you know, somebody walk their dog, or you're bringing them groceries. True spiritual service is very mundane.
I guess that's why I've always been a huge fan of Edgar Cayce, who was considered the truest psychic in the United States. He died, I think, in 68. And he performed so many different forms of service for so many people over time. He was the real deal. He didn't tell anybody's future.
Right.
He didn't tell anybody, you know, a past life. Basically, what he focused on was helping people find ways to heal. And he identified choices that they were making that they could do differently. There's another very interesting story about Andrew Carnegie, who started from very humble beginnings. And he did some things that caused actually quite a few deaths. And he felt terrible about this. But eventually he became the richest man in America. And did he learn from this? What I can tell you is that he created 1,400 libraries across the United States so that as many people as possible would have access to knowledge. And he built the libraries with books, and he made them free, started the library system in the United States. I'm not saying he was a great and mighty Oz or a great and mighty person. I'm saying he saw a need and he filled it on a grand scale. But on a smaller scale, each of us can find ways to do good things.
We are all equal in that we can find these things. And if we are born in karma and not born in sin, that gives us a hope, and it gives us so many more opportunities. And again, we said this in the beginning of the show, that karma is a powerful tool that is woven into all of us throughout time. And it represents the sum total of who we are, who and what we are in resonance with. And it offers us many lessons for spiritual growth.
And soul evolution.
And we have a book, you know, Past Lives and Karmic Ties. Check it out, because we talk about this in great depth. So many of these lessons that we are here to learn come from our family members. And these are family members that we choose to incarnate with. And again, we're born in karma, not sin. And it goes back to Newton's third law, action and reaction. Whenever there's an action, there's a reaction that seeks balance. And this balance doesn't always happen in one lifetime. Sometimes it can take many lifetimes for this balance to happen. And yet, sin creates guilt.
And if we look at this from the spirituality viewpoint, if you look at it spiritually, that life is just misery and difficulty, and gee, then you die and it's worse. But if you were to change it to karma and opportunity and hope and possibly atonement for things that took place in the past, now you can evolve as a soul to higher and higher levels and change your karmic path. Basically, we're all just ordinary people seeking the greatest good for the most people by studying the laws of karma in the normal and the paranormal world. That's who we really are.
Yeah, we want to thank you very much for listening and tuning in. This is a really important show for us because this is a big foundation. If everybody had an understanding, a different perspective of this foundation, this might change the way we view things. And if everybody changed the way they viewed things for the better, for the positive, even by one degree, imagine how that's going to echo out. You are listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. And we want to thank our sponsors, theoillounge.com. Please go check them out. And we also want to give a shout out to our fabulous producer, Kat Grebe, because she is awesome and absolutely adorable too.
She truly is. Be sure to check out our books and courses on thekarmicpath.com and our app, The Karmic Path. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Karmic Path Radio Show. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we explore the fascinating elements of karma and how to make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology. Both of us are seasoned psychics living ordinary lives in public education and the military. Tina and I both have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to share this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with The Karmic Path. For more information, visit thekarmicpath.com.